my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, yet I have no rest. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you rescued them. They cried to you and were set free. They trusted in you and were not disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads. He relies on the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him, since he takes pleasure in him. You took me from the womb, making me secure, while at my mother's breast. I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Do not be far from me, because distress is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong ones of Bashan encircle me. They open their mouths against me, lions mauling and roaring. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax, melting within me. My strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You put me into the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A gang of evildoers have closed in on me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People look and stare at me. They divide my garments among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. But you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will praise you in the congregation. You who fear Yahweh, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, revere him. For he has not despised or detested the torment of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from him, but listened when he cried to him for help. I will give you praise in the great congregation because of you. I will fulfill my vows before those who fear you. The humble will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remain and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. All who prosper on earth will eat and bow down. All those who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Even the one who cannot preserve his life. Their descendants will serve him. The next generation will be told about the Lord. They will come and tell a people yet to be born about his righteousness, what he has done.
Well, thanks very much for having me this afternoon and for the privilege of bringing God's word to you. So my wife Mel and I, we met when we were in SNL at high school. We're going to church together. And when we first started going out with each other, I remember we were in about year 10. Mel had two sisters and I had two brothers. I had no sisters, Mel had no brothers. But one of the first times I was in her house and we were getting to know each other, I remember sitting in her kitchen and just being so struck by how loudly her and her sisters communicated with one another. They screamed with each other. All of their emotion that they were feeling was all on the outside. There was no mistaking what each one thought about the other. They weren't necessarily fighting all the time, but I was just overwhelmed by the emotion that Mel and her sisters had on display with each other all the time. I mean, it wasn't like that for me and my brothers, you know. We didn't really talk that much. We were pretty quiet, and if we ever got annoyed with one another, we'd just try and see who could push the other one through a wall first. That's basically how we resolved our feelings. But I do remember feeling, you know, a bit uncomfortable and out of place with the amount of emotion that Mel's family had in her house. And my guess is that when you listen to Psalm 22 read out, or when you read it yourself, you might have had one of two reactions. You either connected with that psalm in some way, or maybe you felt a bit like me in Mel's house and a bit out of place with all of that emotion that's going around. Maybe you recognise the feeling of being abandoned by God. Maybe you've had that experience, and so that description for you might be very real. Maybe you remember a hard time in your life where you didn't know where God was. Maybe you feel like that right now. Maybe you did feel that experience, but maybe you don't quite connect with the rescue that's in that psalm. Maybe you don't feel like you've been rescued by God the way David has, who wrote this psalm. He feels like at the end he was rescued by God. Or maybe you do feel you were rescued, but you don't really get that idea of praising God in the way that David does in this psalm, that overwhelming wanting to tell everybody about what God has done for him. Or maybe you felt like I did in Mel's house. Maybe you're overwhelmed by it. Maybe you haven't ever really felt abandoned by God. I mean, everyone has bad times in their life, right? But you don't really feel like you've had that bad a time. Maybe you even think that David's being a bit over the top. You know, I'm a worm and not a man. I'm poured out like water. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Maybe you're thinking like, all right, come on, David, settle down. I mean, maybe all of this complaining is even a bit rude. I mean, you're talking to God here. Are you even allowed to say that kind of stuff to God? But as I have read this psalm and I've learned about it from other teachers, I've come to understand that this psalm is written for all of us who trust in Jesus, and it doesn't matter what our experience of suffering is. Maybe you recognise the pain that David writes about here, or maybe you don't. But either way, I hope by the end of today you'll be able to understand how you can connect with this psalm the way that I've learnt to connect with it. To find out how to do that, we're going to look at the psalm in three different ways. Firstly, what it means for David, King David, who wrote the psalm. Secondly, what it means for Jesus, who called out the first two lines of this psalm while he was on the cross. We're going to look at what that meant for him to pray this psalm. And then lastly, we're going to look at what it means for us to pray this psalm. So let's start with David. Now, David was in many ways one of Israel's greatest kings. He was a man after God's own heart. He taught the people how to relate properly with God, and he led them as a good example because David himself worshipped God. And while David had many successes in his reign as king, he had a lot of hard times as well. When David was young, before he was king, the prophet Samuel came and anointed him. And that kind of means that he put oil on David's head, and that marked him out as being God's chosen king. But he wasn't quite in charge yet. There was another king, Saul, who was still in charge as king. And Saul became jealous of David, and he actually started to want to kill him. And he pursued David and chased him around and spent a lot of time trying to hunt David out and kill him. Maybe David wrote this psalm during one of those times when he was out in a rural, isolated area, alone and worried and wondering where God was. Look at this in verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, yet I have no rest. And then down in verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. A gang of evildoers has closed in on me. I mean, David didn't ask to be king, but to then be pursued for his life, maybe he was really wondering where God was and what he was doing. And David doesn't even feel like he's a match for these people who are chasing him. He feels low. Look at verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads. Maybe you know how David feels. Maybe you feel like no one respects you. Every time somebody sees you, they smirk or laugh or get that look in their eye that makes you feel like you're really small. Maybe you're afraid to go online because you don't know what you'll see people have written about you. David may not have had the internet, but he knew what it was like to feel like a loser in front of others. And I think it's important to note here that David never accuses God of doing the wrong thing. When David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's not angrily shaking his fist at God and saying, you broke your promise, God. He's saying, this is what it feels like for me right now. Like a child might call out for a parent when they get lost in the supermarket or something like that. He doesn't know where God is, and he's calling out to him. But he hasn't given up on God. We can see that in verse 4, where he says, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you rescued them. David remembers how God rescued his ancestors, people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He remembers when God led the Israelites out of Egypt. through Moses, then David calls out to God to save him. Look at verse 19. But you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the mouth of the lion. And then it seems like David is so confident that God will save him that he looks ahead and he starts praying as though God has already saved him. Oh, maybe it was up there. Yeah, sorry. He says, "You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will praise you in the congregation. You who fear Yahweh, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, revere him." And all the rest of the psalm is devoted to the people praising God and David encouraging them to. David tells the people of how God has rescued him and calls on the people to praise God for what he has done. Well, that's great for David, right? God did do great things for him. He did rescue David and gave him victory over Saul. But again, maybe you have trouble relating to David to here. Maybe you don't connect with his suffering or his rescue or his response of praise to God. But don't worry, the psalm is still for us. Let's continue and see how the psalm is prayed by Jesus. Now this psalm, it's a bit famous for all of the references that it has to Jesus in it. We don't have time to look at them all today, but if you do have a bit of spare time, it would be good to sit down and have a look at Psalm 22 and then read it with Matthew chapter 27 and see if you can find all of the different similarities between those two chapters. It's very interesting. We're going to have a little bit of a look at Matthew 27 now. So these words come from Jesus as he is dying on the cross. Matthew 27 verse 45. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You recognize that? It's no coincidence that Jesus called out the first two lines of Psalm 22. Jesus knew that many people who heard him would recognize that psalm, and so he's teaching them and us that he's praying that psalm as that David prayed all those years ago. Right now, on the cross, Jesus is feeling abandoned by God. He's God's son, and he knows that, and he loves his father, and yet in the moment that on the cross, God had allowed his son to be arrested, convicted in a false trial with people who lied about him. People even mocked him and made fun of him like they did to David. Look at verse 6 in Psalm 22 up there and compare it with verse 41 in Matthew 27. So verse 6 says, "I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads. He relies on the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him, since he takes pleasure in him." And then look at verse 41 in Matthew 27. "In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said, 'He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. He has put his trust in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him.'" But if David felt abandoned by God, that was nothing compared to what Jesus felt. Jesus felt abandonment from God to the point of death. God abandoned Jesus so completely that Jesus did die. He did that so that we would never have to experience total abandonment from God. The truth is that all of us do deserve to be abandoned by God, and none of us deserve his rescue. But because of God's great mercy, what we see on the cross is Jesus experiencing that abandonment for us. Life comes from God, and when God completely abandons you, your life leaves you too. And that's what happened to Jesus. But if you remember, the psalm is not only about suffering. David trusts God to rescue him, and he looks forward to praising God in front of everyone because of how God rescued him. And now we can hear Jesus praying those same words. "But you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. And we know that God does rescue Jesus in a mighty way. He does nothing less than raises Jesus from the dead. God rescues him. And so now it's Jesus who praises God in front of his brothers. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will praise you in the congregation. You who fear Yahweh, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, revere him. For he has not despised or detested the torment of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from him, but listened when he cried to him for help. Jesus praises God for his rescue, and he calls us to do the same. So, now we can turn to how we can pray this psalm. And the first way is to hear Jesus praying it and respond by praising God for how he rescued Jesus. It doesn't matter if we know the feeling of being abandoned by God or not. We know that God did that to Jesus and then rescued him for us. Jesus is our King, and we can rejoice with him because of how God saved him. My father-in-law, Jack, Mel's dad, he's been a Sharks supporter for a long, long, long time. And he waited a long, long time for them to win the premiership. This is a picture of him with Mel's sister Amy at the premiership, the Sharks grand final game in 2016. You can bet that even though Jack was not playing on the field, even though he wasn't a coach, he didn't train with the players, he didn't do anything that contributed to winning the game, you can bet that he was celebrating right along with the team when they won that premiership. He was cheering, he was clapping, he was partying, just like they were. The victory didn't happen directly to him, it happened to the team. But because he identified as a Sharks supporter, he shared in their celebration and victory too. That's how we can pray this psalm here. We join in with Jesus if we claim him as our Saviour. And we praise God for the way God rescued Jesus. We share in his victory and we praise God for it. Now, it is also true that we don't escape suffering as Christians, at least not until Jesus comes back. While we continue to live on this earth, we will suffer, some of us more than others. In part, we suffer because everyone in the world does, because our world is broken by sin. But for those of us who follow Jesus, we also share in part in his suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah, so that you may also rejoice with great joy at the revelation of his glory." There may well come a time when you suffer as a Christian, when others mock you and make fun of you, or make you feel small and disgusting like a worm, or when you feel like God has abandoned you. Maybe this has already happened to you. When those times come, you can praise Psalm 22, along with David and along with Christ. You can express how painful it feels when you don't feel like God is anywhere near you, but your enemies are all around you. But then you can remember your Saviour, Jesus. He once felt like that, and he trusted in God. And you can remember that God saved him mightily by raising him from the dead and by crowning him king. And you can remember that because of your faith in Jesus, you're joined with him in his suffering so that you can also share in his rescue as you look forward to the day when God raises you up in Christ. And together, we can all join in praising God for what he has done.